does it get people's panties in a bunch?
Where do you get it? How much it costs and its ramifications for society at large?
Beer, another popular beverage for adults, hardly creates the same kind of political passion as the Jamba Juice.
Why don't we ask if hops is free trade or not? Is it that we're too drunk to care, or does caffeine just jack us up?
On today's show, we're talking to writer Mike Doyle, an ex-New Yorker who now calls Chicago home. His muckraking blog, Chicago Carless, stirs up trouble on the local scene. Last month, he sparked a flame war when he wrote about the rising cost of a cup of coffee.
Mike shares with us his not-so-behind-the-scenes coffee drama involving Intelligentsia, his once favorite coffee chain, and Chicagoist, a local group blog he feels attacked him unfairly for his views.
Mike gives us insight into surviving a flame war, falling in love, and why gay men collect dates the way some kids collect marbles.
President Obama is asking not what your country can do for you, but what you can do to save the economy, healthcare, and the environment. Can we fix all our nation's problems at the same time? Yes, we can. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fools. Feast of Fools is brought to you by generous support of fantastic people like you.
We really can't do this show without your support, so please visit our website, feastoffools.net, and make a donation, buy a t-shirt.
Your contributions make the site and this podcast possible.
Thank you. This Gay Fun Show is also brought to you in part by Steamworks, Gym, Sauna, and Baths.
Release the pressure!
Saca la presión.
Steamworks.
Steamworks is a comfortable and stylish place to meet other men, relax, work out, and play. Open 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, to men 18 and over in Berkeley, Chicago, Toronto, and now Seattle, Washington.
When you're ready to play, Steamworks is ready for you.
Visit steamworksonline.com and register to get a discount on your next visit. Enter Feast of Fools on the promo code field to get the special discount. And remember,
play hard, play smart. That means use a condom, people. It's the podcast that comes in like a lion and possibly leaves like a lamb at the Feast of Fools.
But maybe not.
Maybe not.
We could leave roaring.
It's not, I am not late. It's you who are early, because today is daylight savings time. It's the first podcast of the new, bold new future.
I hate the spring one because you lose an hour of sleep, but then you get an hour later of food and stuff.
But it's bizarre though, because this is the first time they've done it this year that they do it earlier in the year.
I think last year was early too.
Was this the first year?
Mike, do you know?
But anyways, let's explain who's here on the show.
Today we're speaking to Mike Doyle. He's an ex-New Yorker who now calls Chicago home, and he stirs up a lot of trouble on his blog, ChicagoCarless.com. Noted for his snark and biting commentary on all things Chicago, you, our listeners, may remember him as the man who outed Feast of Fools' favorite, Jamie Williamson, as a serial dater.
Welcome to the show, Mike.
Thank you.
Can I get you a cup of coffee? That's kind of a loaded question with you, isn't it?
I'll have whatever you're having.
You'll have whatever I'm having.
What happened with you? And there's a coffee chain in Chicago called Intelligentsia Coffee.
Yes.
And you are not a fan of Starbucks.
No, I'm not.
Okay. So you moved from New York City to Chicago, and you've been writing, and you're well known as a blogger, and lots of people read what you do.
Yes.
For the people who may not be familiar with your sort of flame war on the internet with Intelligentsia Coffee and the Chicagoist blog, fill us in on the story. What happened?
Well, I wrote a piece for Gaper's Block about
GapersBlock.com,
yeah, which is it's a group blog, that homegrown group blog
that focuses on Chicago news. Exactly. Shout out to Andrew.
A lot of our listeners might remember Andrew, who was on the show before, and he talked about things from Gaper's Block. And I love Gaper's Block and read it daily.
So I wrote a food and drink piece.
Thank you for that endorsement, Mark.
Well, just so you know.
Okay, so you wrote a what?
A food and drink piece about Intelligentsia and their planned price increases that they put into effect because they're using the new Clover coffee machine, which apparently,
So does the Cloverfield monster have anything to do with this?
I've never tasted the coffee, but
Is it the same process that Starbucks uses? Yes. They use Clover too.
Yes.
And it's supposed to
Well, Intelligentsia got their machines though secondhand. So.
They used Starbucks once.
They used, yes.
Okay.
So it's like every coffee chain is doing the same type of coffee.
Yeah. Because is it drip coffee or is it some kind of different?
It's custom made coffee. We'll drip you one cup.
Oh, really?
And then we'll charge you twice as much as we used to. Intelligentsia doubled their prices basically when they put these machines in. Now, most of my blog has been written for the past 4 years at Intelligentsia, so I was really.
So you're a fan of this coffee chain?
Yeah, yeah. But you know,
you're one of those coffee snobs. I don't go to Starbucks. I go to Intelligentsia.
I would never go to Caribou Coffee
or Caribou Screw.
Well, that's actually where I go now is Caribou.
Oh, really?
Because you got kicked out of Intelligentsia for writing trashy stuff about them on your blog.
More or less. Yeah, exactly.
But on Gaper's blog, you wrote a thing. You complained about the price increase.
What
was your reception to that, like on that site?
Well, when I wrote that piece, Chicagoist wrote a rebuttal saying that I was over the top and there wasn't really much of a price increase.
Now, Chicagoist is kind of like, I wouldn't call it a rival blog to Gaper's
Blog. It's a group blog about Chicago and news, and there's San Franciscoist, New Yorkist, Gothamist.
No, the Gothamist is New Yorkist, right?
Somebody should buy New Yorkist right now.
I'm sure they probably have.
They call it Gothamist because New York is special.
That's like a syndication of blogs? How would you classify that?
It's a Gawker Media. It's a collection of blogs owned by a company, and they pay these people to write blogs entries of a specific city. And you have they like your stuff because they read about it.
I guess so.
Otherwise, they wouldn't even know that you existed.
I guess they like my stuff because every 3 years they tell me what an ass I am about writing it. And that's basically what they did about
Intelligentsia. Are you an ass or not? This is where the listeners are like, where are we going with this?
What did the Chicagoist say about your article about coffee and Gaper's Block?
Well, they said that I didn't get the story right. They said that there wasn't much of a price increase and that I was just being reactionary. While they were doing that, they dragged up this old debate about noise pollution in downtown Chicago that I was part of 3 years ago, and they called me a hater.
Mm-hmm. You drank deeply out of the Bucket Boys Haterade.
Exactly.
Which is not a beverage for sale. It's
right,
a concept.
No, it's about the Bucket Boys downtown who bang on buckets and they play underneath people's windows at people who live downtown at, you know, 10 o'clock at night, and we'd like to sleep at some point. Mm-hmm. You know, so there is a big noise debate, and the city council passed this legislation that put some controls on where the Bucket Boys could play.
Or musicians or public performers in the city, not just Bucket Boys.
Right. Chicago was 3 years ago took the stance that, like, if you live downtown, well, you should know better and you're an idiot and, you know, it's loud and that's it. And so in order to describe who I was, instead of saying, you know, I'm a local blogger, they said, here's this hater from 3 years ago, you know, and
who's rising from below his bridge.
Yes, exactly. I'm like,
to yell at children,
I'm like a smog monster, you know, the slime arising from the ocean, and save the earth. And then here I am to like throw my slime at Intelligentsia. And I'm like, huh?
And do you feel like you were unfairly treated, responded to by this blog?
Well, there's two ways to answer that question. I could
do you
say,
or don't you?
Well, I could say, well,
we're dancing around this already.
Listen to his answer.
I feel bullshit.
I want to hear the answer.
I could say no. Everybody's entitled to their opinion, and you know.
But you're not saying
opinion.
That.
No, I'm saying they're a bunch of dicks. Is what I'm saying.
There you go. So you were unfairly treated.
They're a bunch of motherfucking snarky dicks.
Say
their entire blog is based on like being bitchy to people, no matter whether they're bitchy for you know a real reason or they're just bitchy for the sport of it. And I thought it was pretty kind of heinous of, you know, what they said.
It was unfair.
It was unfair.
Why is it unfair of them to bring up something that happened 3 or 4 years ago?
I think it's unfair for them to bring up something that happened 3 or 4 years ago because it had nothing to do with coffee.
But I think that they're trying to do is they're trying to paint you as somebody that is often unfair and like a curmudgeon,
yeah,
basically.
Exactly.
Right?
Well, I am a curmudgeon.
You're a watchdog.
You're
like a gay
title.
Andy Rooney. Only
I'm an
you
old
get laid.
Washerwoman with a blog and a potty mouth. That's what I am.
Okay. And so were you? You were charged with overreacting to Intelligentsia's price hike, which you said that there's impossible to find a cup of coffee in that store that's below $3.
Right. That's what they jumped. They jumped.
And they
on.
Said that it well, you could get something out, for $2.65, yeah. but if you add the tax and tip, it's
that's
$3.
For a large coffee. So, but they're still mad about that because they're like, it's really only $2.95, not $3, right, like you said. Right. So, I mean, I wish I had a nickel for every time people tried to pick apart everything I've tried to say, because then I'd be rich. Because they're quibbling over a nickel here, right. basically.
Right. But aren't you quibbling over that too? I mean, aren't you being attacked for the same? Lack of compassion, maybe, that you would have. Could you be a little bit more compassionate
to
intelligentsia?
I mean, what I was
maybe
saying,
they need to raise their prices because they're going to go broke and bankrupt.
That's not what they said. You know, intelligentsia.
But maybe they spun it differently.
Well, what did they say?
They said that our coffee has historically, coffee in the world has historically been underpriced. We have really good coffee, so we're just raising our prices because we think that people will still pay it and not walk away. That's almost exactly
what
they said. That is honest. It's
elastic.
Very honest.
They right. feel like the price of right. coffee is elastic and they can yeah. charge a certain amount so, and people will pay it.
Yeah, it's a very fair statement. So what I was saying on Gaper's Block was, well, I'm one of your regular customers and I am going to walk away because I don't think that's really fair. And so that was my perspective from writing the post about intelligentsia mm-hmm. in the first place. And then you know, the shit hit the fan, basically.
Mike, it's just coffee.
It's just coffee. It's just coffee.
But people have gotten very excited about it. And you actually had...
See what caffeine does to people?
You even had somebody that works at Intelligentsia runs a blog, and they called you out on it, too.
Right.
Saying that you didn't talk to anyone.
2 weeks later, right. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had NBC5... NBC5 and Time Out Chicago and wrote blog posts saying, Chicagoist, why are you like jumping down this blogger's throat? He's mm-hmm. not necessarily wrong. They are raising their prices. You know, I had...
These are people you've never met face to face.
Right.
These are behind the scenes.
Behind the scenes saying like...
So you're both public figures sort of having a public... debate,
right? Exactly.
But the debate's getting personal.
And then so 2 weeks later, an employee from that Intelligentsia store, out of nowhere, wrote this blog post saying, "You know, how you didn't talk to anybody at the store. You don't know what you're talking about. You should have talked to me. You should have just talked to me. Damn it!" And I'm like, "I quoted you in the story. I talked to you for 10 minutes." I mean, hello, knock, knock, McFly, is there anybody in there? I mean,
sure.
you're calling me out on your blog saying I didn't talk to anybody. You're the person I talked to most in the entire store. I couldn't drag myself away from this person because I kept getting, and this is why it's a good change, and this is why it's a good change. I even said I am going to blog about this, and they're like, okay.
And then you got we got involved.
But I got to get clear up one more thing with this, though, is that you actually you've actually talked to the owner of Intelligentsia.
I talked to Doug Zell.
About the employee's blog.
I said, because Doug Zell had contacted me after uh-huh. this whole stupid thing started.
The
owner
chair.
Of Intelligentsia saying, you know, let's have a cup of coffee. Let's meet. You know, I was
and
telling him, I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at the dirt. I mean, okay. Chicagoist, you know, mm-hmm. it's kind of the same thing. And
quoting Joan Crawford.
Exactly.
Actually, Joan Crawford quoted in the film Mommy Dearest.
Yes.
Right. And so, out of nowhere, this worker at the store raises it again. So Doug Zell wrote me again and said, this is silly. I'm like, this, mm-hmm. This is silly too. And I said, can we stop this? And so eventually Doug Zell and uh-huh. I are going to have a cup of coffee. But this person at the store said, you know, this is my blog. I can write mm-hmm. whatever I want to, you mm-hmm. know. But what he wrote was, you should have talked to me. You mm-hmm. should have talked to Doug Zell. Mm-hmm. You know, this is why Intelligentsia is right.
Right.
And so I said to Doug Zell,
What was not considered?
Well, what wasn't considered is he's not a spokesperson for Intelligentsia.
What was the point that he wanted to make?
I think the point that he did make was that he's a dumbass.
Now you're attacking him personally.
That's right.
But what was the point he wanted to make?
The point that he wanted to make was that he didn't think that I was correct. That mm-hmm. I couldn't have talked to anybody in the store.
Charging $3.
Right. Because you didn't talk to anybody, but you, in fact, had talked exactly to this one person.
He was the only person who gave me pricing information, was him.
And so is he trying to confuse the issue and try and remove himself and say, well, you didn't talk to me. I'm not the person you talked to.
No, I just think he has a debilitating mental condition that renders him totally unable to remember
Mike,
things.
Mike, I can't do this. though. You're escalating. Listen. By coming on the show, you're just escalating this flame war. And you are benefiting as a public figure by just that you're sort of like wanting to have it both
Listen,
ways.
Fausto, you're saying that like it's a bad thing.
But also it's not necessarily.
So you actually talked to Doug about the employee. Yeah, what did Doug say to you about this employee? Because you wrote a comment on this employee's blog. It's like, oh, and I did talk to your boss, and he'll be talking
yes,
to you
he's like, I'll
at work tomorrow.
I'll be talking
have
to him before
day.
The end of today. Yes, yes.
Yes. Now,
like, let it go. Basically, Doug said, I'm going to tell him to let it go. You mm-hmm. let it go. We'll all let it go. And we'll all drink whatever coffee we want.
But you haven't let it go. Is it hard
you're
to let
You're not letting
go?
It go because you're talking about this right now on this program. You specifically came over here to talk about this. Of course, we want you to talk
I
about
wanted
it.
You to talk
Because I think this illustrates a bigger issue, which is when you write a blog, mm-hmm. you are a public personality. Right. And you're putting yourself out there.
Right.
To be,
right.
And that's really the whole point. Because they don't really know you as a person. Right. It can't be a personal attack because they don't know who you are.
But it hurts you as a person.
Right. I mean, that's the whole point. I mean, when the whole Chicago thing started, you know, I've known you guys like on the internet, and you know, I know Jamie, and I had heard I forget which I'm a big Closet fan. I'm not a Closet fan anymore. I mean, I love you mm-hmm. guys. I love the show.
And thank you.
You can blow us later.
Welcome.
just kidding.
Thank you.
So I wrote to you guys and I said, you know, you just talked about how you deal with haters, how you deal with people who just, you know, it doesn't matter what you say, they're just going to tear you apart based on what you say on the internet. Because I sat at the back of Lido's Cafe in Oak Park on Marion Street, my favorite coffee shop in all of Chicagoland, and it would be yours too.
They're going to disappoint you one day. I'm just going to say
when they close, if they close.
They're going to raise their prices and then you'll write a blog entry.
I know, but don't tell them that. Okay. So I asked you guys, like, how do you deal with it? Because I sat at the back of this coffee bar, and I was, like, practically in tears. Like, you know, I was writing about coffee. Why are you telling me I'm
a
hater? Yeah. Like, why are you telling me I'm a hater and bringing this stuff up, and it's about coffee? I mean, how does one become the other?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
And I wrote to you, and I just said, it's haters' jobs to hate, and you just have to let them do it and remove yourself from the situation. Let your work speak for itself. Rise above it. And if you can, seek out revenge.
Oh my God.
But that's just a joke.
Well,
but, you know,
I want to give context here because it's very difficult to build and maintain an audience for what you do, even if your stuff is quality work. And the fact that somebody would take out of their busy schedule to write about you and express even a very negative personal opinion is kind of flattering.
I mean, I agree. I mean, half of my blog is not snark. I mean, I do. I write a lot about, you know, how much I love Chicago and about Chicagoans. I mean, you couldn't pay me to go back to New York. I mean, I love Chicago. I can't even express
you're
how much
one
I love
of those
Chicago.
New Yorkers who are so traumatized by New York. Now you live in Chicago. You're like as passionate about Chicago.
No, that's
as
not
you
it.
Were about
that's,
New York.
That's not it. That's really not it. I wanted to get out of New York, but Chicago. Chicago absolutely attracted me in and of itself. I when I first came to the city, it was instant love. And my friends in New York always ask me why I'm still here. And I say, because of Chicagoans. You know, I can't move back to New York because I can't bring 3 million Chicagoans with me. And I'd rather live among you guys than the people I grew up with. So
what was it that attracted you about the city?
Because people say please and thank you and excuse me and how are you? You know, I'm sorry.
We were talking about that. We don't say that beforehand.
See, from my perspective, you do. I mean, from my perspective, people are more engaged with each other here than back home. And back home, people seem to be very afraid of each other. Mm-hmm. You can't start up a conversation
busy.
On the street. Yeah.
They seem very busy. Well, Chicagoans, like, they'll just walk up to you, start talking to you. They don't say hi to you. They don't say hello. They just start asking you questions, and then they just walk away. Like, there's no hello or goodbye or no excuse me and that kind of stuff. It's weird. But they're always very, very friendly, so you don't really mind it
so much.
That's
because they're so comfortable with you.
It really does feel that way.
Probably the people who wrote this on Chicagoist are listening to this program. If they were sitting here right now, what would you say to them, Mike?
Fuck you.
No.
Really? That's what you would say?
Well, that would be the first thing I would say because I am from New York.
What would be the constructive thing that you would say?
You're entitled to your opinion. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you'd probably be a better writer if you wrote about the issues instead of dragging stuff up to kitchen sink the people that you're writing about.
But do you feel that this has affected you as a writer in some way and given you some pause into maybe being a little bit more compassionate about negative opinions that you may express on businesses or individuals or phenomena?
No.
And why not?
I would say it's given me more perspective about negative opinions about what I write. You know, not about, I mean, I try to be as fair as humanly possible in anything that I write on Chicago Carlist. And if I'm criticizing anybody, I mean, read my blog, the person I criticize the most and the person I'm hardest on is myself. And I don't make any secret
of because you suffer from low self-esteem.
Because I'm an ex-New Yorker. We just carry that around, you know. It's like, but I do a lot of navel-gazing, and I write a lot about, you know, I use my blog to sort of try to figure out my life. And I think a lot of people read my blog because, you know, people are trying to, you know, figure out similar issues. So I'm not, you know, I'm my own biggest critic. So I don't write anything on my blog that doesn't include some sort of criticism of myself, you know. So I don't criticize people for sport, you know. Well, maybe except Blagojevich, but I mean, come on.
Yeah, how can you not? But the thing that bothered you too, it wasn't just so much the article, but it was people's reaction to that article.
Right.
Because there was certainly a lot of negative comments in the comments section. Right. Do you have any idea of, like, if you think that maybe these, what's the word that they use for when people secretly post comments under aliases and stuff like that when they work for the company?
Trolling.
Or like spies or
spies.
Like
the House of
Love. Do you think they were like spies for Intelligentsia at all?
Spies in the House of Hate.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
There were people that were like just committed to the cause and like looking at this as an article and not biased?
I just think that there's a lot of people out there who, you know, and you guys have said this too. I mean, people who are just post comments and get a rise out of people. And I happen to be somebody who my bark is, you know, much worse than my bite. I'm a lot more thin skinned than you might realize. I speak my opinion on my blog.
I know you're crying right now. No. I can't believe you.
Yeah. Here, have a tissue.
Just
so,
kidding.
Why so much passion over coffee?
It wasn't coffee. It was the fact that I was a committed customer and I was being told that I wasn't a worthy customer and the customers they wanted to keep. Because they said, you know, if people don't want to pay this price, you know, and we lose customers, that's fine. And I thought, well,
they said we'll gain more customers than we'll lose.
Yeah.
By so changing, like, our prices and the way we make the coffee.
Now, is this also a price change throughout the company? Because, I mean, they have different venues and different locations. And I can understand maybe downtown where the rent is higher.
Well, they did it up on Broadway.
More.
They did it at the Broadway store, you know, in Lakeview. They did it there first. And some people were saying, well, you're raising your prices because you bought these expensive Clover machines. And Doug Zell said, no, that's not why. We're just raising our prices because we think we can.
And in this economy, do you think that's a wise move with so many people? Like,
I don't think it's a wise move downtown where, you know, it's like it's a lot of students. It's a lot of office workers. It's not.
Or as you like to call them, drones.
Office drones. Yes, I was one of them.
Because you took some heat for the calling them office drones, too, wasn't it?
Truth hurts.
Yeah.
But some people like the security and comfort of having an office job,
right?
And the W, you know, as someone who has a bizarre, sketchy tax form preparation, it's comforting just to take that W-2 form, you know, write it in.
Well, it's and, security, and it's like, you know, it's less
simplicity.
You get that job, and that's what you do.
Right. My point was just, I mean, how much money is somebody making who's just dropping into a coffee shop just for a cup of coffee? They work, you know, they're like some, I don't know, they're an administrative assistant, you know, across the street on Wabash. And you want $3 for a cup of coffee. I personally don't think it's something the market can bear. What's interesting is that one of my good friends left a comment on my blog about this whole coffee thing that said, well, he goes to Intelligentsia a lot, and he said, well, now there's, you know, I love Intelligentsia since they put these changes in downtown because I have all of this room, you know, to spread out with my New York Times and drink my Clover. That's not crowded with people on Wi-Fi, you know, and I'm like, well, great. So now they have fewer customers, you know. But they're charging more, so.
They're making more.
So
And I'm over at Caribou.
Why, you know, one thing I've noticed in our community forums.
And thank God Caribou
plays
better music now because I've wanted to shoot myself in the head there before.
One thing I've always noticed is that whenever you bring up the Starbucks, Caribou, Intelligentsia, or whatever coffee chain in your part of the world is, or coffee store, that people have a very strong associations and affiliations with the places they like to drink coffee.
I love the staff at the Millennium Park store, at the Randolph Street store, at Intelligentsia. They're really friendly. They're really knowledgeable.
Good kissers.
No comment.
And I'm
wondering, maybe there's a few I've wanted to kiss over
why,
the years.
You know, when you talk to gay men about, let's say, a gay bar, they're not as, you know, it's like saying, you know, Sidetrack versus Roscoe's versus the former Scarlet or Spin. They really don't have that much allegiance to it. But when it comes to coffee,
yeah,
people are like, it's almost like talking about political affiliations. Why is coffee so politicized?
That's a good question. It's like sex. Well, why is sex so politicized?
No, why is coffee so politicized? That is the question.
Because it's such a personal thing to people. It's people cannot arise and make it through their day, a lot of people, including me, without their caffeine. Yesterday I went to the zoo with the new guy. It was like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I'm like, I have a giant headache. Why do I have a headache? Because I hadn't had a cup of coffee all day. I usually have half a pot by then. Mm-hmm. You know, my life rises and falls on the caffeine that I intake. So I like that caffeine, much like if I were a drug addict or an alcoholic or addicted to nicotine or a sex addict, I would have my preferences. So for the coffee, I have my preferences.
Okay, but I like to go to a certain place, and I don't like to mention it on publicly because I feel like they don't deserve it. But in terms of a free ad, but I'm very loyal and dedicated to certain places that I like to get my coffee. At the same time, I'm like, look, if they start treating me like crap, I'll just walk across the street and go to the other place.
Right. And that's what I did.
And so, but why turn this into a public debate?
Well, I didn't really turn it into a public
You
debate.
Did. You are the man who did this.
But is he the one pulling the strings, though, at that point in time?
But
it's been picked up by other people.
I did it as a food writer saying, you know, here's some place I've gone for like 3 years, and this is a big change that's just disappointing me as a regular customer. So, you know, I mean, the venue was right about, you know, the things that you eat and the things that you drink and the places, you know, the restaurants and stuff that you go to. So I did it, that venue that I wrote in, that was why I wrote it, you know. I didn't put it on Chicago Carlson saying, Intelligentsia, you suck. And I didn't say you suck either on Gaper's Block. I said, I'm a disaffected customer.
You know, you're saying fuck you to them right now.
I'm saying fuck you to Chicagoists.
To Chicagoists, okay.
Now, Chuck Pseudo, suck my dick. That's what I'm saying.
And how is your relationship with Gaper's Block now, too? Because you were telling me that when you would mention something to the food editor there, they said, you know what? Grow a thicker skin.
Right. Well, that was the response I got. Okay. I was like, you know, it's just one of those things. And, you know, I agree. It is just one of those things. You know, I had my little moment of, oh, my God, why are you attacking me? I didn't write this on Carlos. I wrote this on Gaper's Block. And in the end, I decided, you know, I'll keep my words, my unpaid words, on Chicago Carlos, and you know, if I'm going to write about a restaurant or I'm going to write about anything else, I'll write it on my blog where I can defend myself. I can be totally free to speak my mind, and you know, I don't want to bring any drama to Gaper's Block. And,
well, can we say one positive thing is that your sexuality as a gay man has not been brought into this fight? They never said, you stupid faggot, blah, 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 you know?
You just jinxed me, Fausto. Thanks.
But it's true. And I think that's something like really positive.
Well, I didn't
to
read
say
every comment.
It.
I didn't read every comment in the Gaper, in the Chicago
did,
thread.
I read pretty much everything. Really? And I don't think there was any question of your sexuality.
And I think this is interesting because this is really a fight in between liberal people, you know?
It really is a fight of the liberals.
Inside, you know, the fight of the liberals. And usually, you know, if you want to get into a heated conversation, you don't talk about healthcare, you don't talk about the economy, you talk about coffee. I think we're just scratching the surface here, but I think this is something that keeps us from actually accomplishing the things that we did. Barack Obama this week, he said, U.S. government, meaning you, the country, America, you need to solve your healthcare problems now. Why? Because if we want to create jobs, look, if we want to create jobs and rebuild our economy, then we must address the crushing cost of healthcare this year in this administration. Obama said earlier at a forum on the issue on Thursday. Now,
yeah, but then he's just going out into the Rose Garden having a smoke. I mean,
well, that's what he does.
He's not smoking anymore. Did he quit smoking? Do you think he quit, really?
I don't think he quit.
I don't think he quit.
So what do you think? Is it possible for us to, like, instead of talking about coffee right now, talk about healthcare and its likelihood on being fixed? We pay a lot of money for our broken healthcare system.
For the price of a cup of coffee.
Nice segue.
Can we accomplish as a country right now to have better healthcare? Because it is costing us money not to have it. Healthcare
with the
companies,
new depression, I think we can. I mean, I think with what's going on with the economy now, I mean, they say now that it's worse than 1981, 1982. This is as bad as it's been since the depression.
It's worse than 1984. Ooh.
84 was actually pretty good.
Oh, okay.
But I mean, any worse, it would be the 1930s again. So, I mean, this is as bad as it's been in like 70, 80 years. So,
in the lifetime of
since
our
World
us
War II
and our
or
parents.
Something like that. So, yeah, since the Depression.
Right.
So,
right.
If they're going to do it now.
Right.
Also, too, how about maybe some equal rights? Just do it all at once, you know?
Well, I think
get
this
them
is
while
a,
they're down.
This is a, get them while the Republicans
kick
are
them
down.
While they're down.
And I think you know, one thing we were sort of thinking about this is what is the role of government to its people. And I think we're beginning to understand that the government really is there to be this protector, this situation where when our is to keep our economy from getting shit faced. And because we deregulated our economic controls in the last, especially in the last 8 years, but I think also even Reagan and also Clinton, there was a lot of deregulation happening in our economic systems, and now we're living with the consequences of that. And I think that the argument against having healthcare stems from the same problem, is that we do need to regulate our healthcare in order to prevent catastrophe.
Well, I think it's that whole big government versus small government thing, you know.
How about good government?
Well, what is it that, what did Obama say that during the inauguration speech? It's not about whether government's big or small, but about how well it works. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's what it comes down to.
But that's just a soundbite. What we're really talking about here is, can we have our political leadership, and that means ourselves, create a system that actually benefits us collectively as a society.
I don't think it's just a soundbite, because we've had so many years of this knee-jerk reaction of, well, if it's government government equals bad. So, you know, government regulation equals big government equals bad. So we're not even going to debate it. It's just bad, and that's it. You know, so I think by the president saying that, you know, it's about government that works. You know, it's let's examine everything. Let's not just, you know, push something to the curb and say we're not even going to think about it, you know, because we have this preconceived notion about it.
Because if you go into the hospital and you get a heart attack and you can't afford to pay for it, guess what? The taxpayers will be paying for
that. They take your kidneys out to pay for it.
They take your... No, but seriously, if you lose a finger and if you own a home, well, if you own anything, you lose your home.
Absolutely.
And you shouldn't lose your home because people lost a finger.
Yeah, right. People go bankrupt all the time because they have to pay medical bills, and it's disgusting. And it's we do need to move forward. And what concrete steps can we do to make that happen?
Well, and that's where the insurance companies differ from the rest of the nation and the public,
because they want to keep getting their
they have a business model that is based on the exploitation of a broken system.
Right. Well, what's probably going to happen is they're probably going to do some kind of voucher system, or everybody's going to have something, you fill out paperwork, and then it goes to the government, and that's about, you know, so it's just a matter of implementing this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And we'll see. And, you know, it'll be expensive, but, you know,
I'm looking forward to it, you know.
How much did you just pay for your doctor?
If you guys have been listening to the show, you hear me coughing in the background. I had a pulmonary problems, and I went to the doctor. And
what do they call it, though?
Pulmonary problems. Oh. Like, I have I don't want to get into the.
Pneumonia. It's pulmonary.
It's not pneumonia. It's not what Jim Henson had, right. But it could have gotten that bad.
Look, let's just cut right to the point. Should I be washing my hands in the studio?
No,
or
you're
not?
Fine.
Okay, good.
And so
he's taking antibiotics.
I'm on antibiotics, so pretty much everything about me is sterilized right now. And so, like, the doctor was kind of, you know, he didn't really know what.
What'd you pay?
I paid $100 for the visit, which is actually a very unique, special thing that's subsidized by the city.
Oh, that place up there is?
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful.
That's why we don't pay a lot of money. It's like walk in and see a doctor in 5 minutes, you know?
Oh, okay.
And then I paid almost $200 for the medication. So it costs twice as much just to get some antibiotics.
So you're looking at $300.
Almost $300.
Okay.
And for somebody, you know, let's just say, assume that the average person, what are they making a month or a week?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that
costs... Your antibiotics weren't just $100?
Look, I'm telling you what you're asking me a question.
I'll give you an example. My example. Like last year, I had to have a CAT scan because of the economy. My income went. I'm a communication strategist. My billing went down. So 1 month I had, you know, my self-paid health insurance, and I was able to go to the doctor and schedule my CAT scan, and it was like $100 altogether. The next month I had the CAT scan. My insurance ended, and I owe Northwestern like $3,000. So. You know, there
don't
you go.
Him.
I mean,
don't pay. Well, you can't pay if you own things. It ruins your credit. You know, it's a situation where it's a broken system.
Yeah.
It's not a situation where we're going to have people running from the law or running from their responsibility to pay the bill. It just, you can't have a stable society that way. And I think that Obama, and with the nation's will, we're going to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm. Now, when Jamie Williamson, who's been on the show before, and you guys might know him from the video where he does the reaction to One Guy's One Cup, you actually did a whole blog entry on him and speed dating. Yeah. I think he was kind of taken a little bit aback by
it. He felt like his vibe. You claimed gay men go on dates like kids collect marbles.
Do kids even collect marbles anymore?
Well, I guess maybe I'm showing my age with that, but yeah. I stand behind the comment.
Okay.
To set the scene, I mean, Jamie, I met Jamie last year. He's my favorite Cincinnati, and he took me to Cincinnati, and I've fallen in love with his hometown and the chili and the beauty of Cincinnati.
They have weird
and
chili there.
I love that chili.
Do you like
it? I love the chili. I love it. Okay. I make a pilgrimage every month up to Sinners in Lincoln Square. It's on Tallman, like just south of Western.
Okay.
Really cool. It's the only real authentic Cincinnati chili place in Chicago.
And they make it there.
They make it there, okay. Yeah. It's like a bar/chili parlor. But Jamie, so I was meeting up with Jamie, and actually we were going to Sinners that night. Mm-hmm. And
to get some of that chili.
To get some of that chili. And he told me that he was going to have a couple of dates. And, you know, by dates, I figured he meant dates. And I later found out it was a euphemism. And
for sexual encounters.
Your words, not mine. And so
possible sexual encounters.
I met him at the Hilton or something downtown. And he was dropping somebody off. And I was my little snarky self. So I said to the guy, you know, listen, if I blog about this, I'm not going to refer to you as number two. And I got in the car and Jamie's like, he didn't know there was a number one. And I looked at him and I'm like, my inner pencil is writing now, Jamie. So, you know,
Inner pencil sounds a bit sexual, doesn't it?
I know there's something. What do you got stuffed in there?
So you're number dating, two. You're dating guy. You're a bear. You're dating guys in Chicago. You hang out with Jamie at the Chicago Bear Night. Have you gone to that?
Or? I haven't. I actually haven't.
Oh,
what he went that night actually, yeah. And then he texted.
That was
me.
The third date.
Yeah. Well, he was like, "You want to be number four?" I'm like, "I'm going home." So
you have a problem with guys speed dating? You think guys? What's the problem?
I don't
with
have
gay
a problem
men?
With it. I just thought it was. I just thought it was. You know.
Are you a little jealous?
At the moment, no. Then maybe a little bit.
So why are gay men treating dates like kids collect marbles, where they're just glad to have the date?
Well, you know, so,
but not really.
I have friends who are like
person,
I have friends who are like Samantha, you know, on Sex and the City, you know, and it's all about the sex and it's wonderful and that's great. I've been like that. I had a whole summer like that in 2007. At the end of a relationship, and it was a lot of fun.
So you're one of those guys who compares themselves to a character on a women's television program.
I like to compare other people. I like to talk about other people.
Okay.
Well, what am I, do you think?
I think you're very happily partnered with Fausto, and you make a wonderful couple.
But like, Sex and the City.
Well, I don't know anything about Sex and the City, but I do watch Desperate Housewives, okay. And Mark actually asked me this question: which Desperate Housewives do you identify with? And I was like, I identify with Marsha Cross.
I identify with the dead one.
The dead one, the one who shot herself in the head. But what, like, you know
commentary.
Us, you know us pretty well.
I think I'm a cross between Terry Hatcher and Eva Longoria.
I'm the studly guy who fixes things.
Are definitely Marsha Cross.
I am Marsha Cross, you know. I'm just not a religious fundamentalist. And every time I see, because I really understand Martha Stewart's psyche, and that character is really written in response to who Martha Stewart is as a public figure. And whenever I see her being like religiously conservative, I think that's such a mistake, you know, but because her liberation comes from this Polish home aesthetic, which you beautifully explained it to me, is that Martha Stewart and Marsha Cross's character are liberated by their ability to control their homes.
Was that what I said to you?
Yeah, that Polish women have a very strong work ethic.
They have
when
the
it
cleanest
comes to,
houses. They are always making crafts,
and they're they like to recycle things and build things. At least, you know, not everybody is that way, but there's a cultural thing happening there. And Martha Stewart is sort of the Polish home goddess. And for me as a gay man, I always enjoyed the fact that she was sort of a master of, you know, you always hear the expression. What is it? A master of all
trades.
Jack of all trades.
Jack of all trades. Master of none. But she's a jack of all trades and master of all of them.
And beats them all.
And beats them all at their own game. And I always felt like as a homeschooler, as a person who was trained in a liberal sort of multidisciplinary approach. I always like that sort of that you're able to be the engineer, the writer, the cook, the bottle washer. You're doing all the aspects of it, and that's what to me really appeals to that character. But so anyway, why are we talking about
this? I don't know.
Because The Rock was on Saturday Night Live. Mm-hmm.
Yes, he was on Saturday Night Live, and he was very gay, dancing around, and saying, "I think he said he was a Miranda or something like that."
And he's comparing himself to characters on Sex and the City.
So, I forget we got off on a tangent though. But back on the Sex and the City character, you had a friend that compared themselves to that, and so you're talking about gay men and dating.
Right.
Is that where we're at?
Okay. We're done with that.
We're done with that.
We're moving on.
So, but you're dating a guy now.
Yeah,
I'm.
You're finally dating a
native Chicago. And back in New York, I dated every Brooklyn Italian alive. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I moved from Queens to Brooklyn to make that dating commute shorter. And when I moved to Chicago 6 years ago, I thought, oh, I'm going to get to date native Chicagoans. Not one. All I ever dated was people from the coasts, people from New York, people from California. Mm-hmm. Nobody from the burbs? People from the coasts who lived in the burbs. Nobody who was born here. And this is the first time I've dated a native Chicagoan, mm-hmm. and a guy who grew up in the city and in Oak Park, mm-hmm. and will actually get on the L. I mean, I live downtown. I don't know how to drive a car.
Public transportation.
I don't know how to drive.
Oh, hence
I want to be like Studs Terkel. I'm an ex-New Yorker who's living in Chicago, and I will go to my grave without learning how to drive a car, because I used to be a public transit planner in New York City, and I figure, I was born to take transit or be driven around by cute guys, and it's worked so far, so...
The public transportation drivers are cute, or your boyfriends are?
Hopefully my boyfriends. Well, my current boyfriend is very cute. And
he's listening to this going, oh,
I am not giving him the URL.
But he's not really from Chicago, though. He's from Oak Park.
No, he's from Humboldt Park.
Oh, he's from Humboldt Park.
Born in Humboldt Park. They moved out to Oak Park later. What I hear,
because it's like a lot of people that live in Chicago, especially I think a lot of the gays, because Chicago is a gay mecca for so many people in the Midwest, Michigan, Indiana, Wisconsin, Iowa. They all come here to live, and so there's not a whole lot of gay guys that you meet that are native from here, because they, if they grew up here, it's like chances are they're going to move to Los Angeles, or they're going to go to New York, or if they're from Chicago, they're from like a south side suburbs from somewhere, or from out in the suburbs, on the north. So you actually found a native Chicagoan, and I've been here for 14 years. I've never dated anybody that was a native Chicagoan.
Well, you live in a city and you're gay. Chances are people come to the city so they can be gay.
Yes.
Right.
And that's what happens. Moving on, because we're running out of time.
Okay.
Before we were taping, as you haven't noticed in the show, we've been all over the place. You say you suffer from ADD.
I don't remember attention. Saying that.
You didn't say that?
No, you never said that.
You said you suffer from ADD and you're taking supplements.
You're an easy mark, but that's okay.
I get him like that all the time.
Down.
It gets him so frustrated.
You're driving me crazy.
I have ADD. Okay,
or as we call it, the I can't get shit done disease.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. The I can't get shit done disease. And I found out that...
Self-diagnosed.
Well, I was actually diagnosed.
By a doctor.
By a doctor
is
last
that why
year.
You had the MRI?
No. I didn't have an MRI. I had a CAT scan.
Oh.
That was for other stuff. We don't want to go there.
Okay.
Because he's mad.
Okay. I'm mad.
He had cats inside him.
Cats inside. That's why I did a CAT scan.
He had a little pussy there.
That's a story. That's tomorrow's show. Talking about Watchmen. So, yeah.
Oh, dear.
So you have ADD. How did you cure your ADD?
There's no cure. I'm taking a bunch of supplements. I'm not on a prescription like Adderall or Ritalin. I take
why didn't you go a prescription route?
Because I don't have insurance right now.
Because he's not a meth addict.
Because I'm not a meth addict.
What was it you say about people who are always
all
prescribing
the people
Ritalin?
That I know? Well, this is a generalization. I probably should say I know like a couple of people that have been on Ritalin as children and as they grow up. I think because they're used to taking pills like to solve their problems. Yeah. As adults they become substance abusers, and I've known lots.
Well,
of people.
I'm on a lot of fish oil right now, so I would be abusing halibut now. You know.
Well, but the other thing too with like Ritalin is an upper, so of course somebody that's taking an upper is going to be very attracted to taking something such as crystal meth or cocaine, because it helps them, the speed actually helps them to focus.
Feel like things are getting done.
Yes, and they
can focus. The phosphatidylserine does that for me big time. But I'm on like a whole bunch of, they're the supplements that you read about in, the
Women's health.
Well, yeah, basically. ADD women's health, yes. So I'm on a bunch of supplements. And the funny thing is, this is the first time in my life I've been really aware of my social relationships, you know, about my blogging and about my friends. And I feel like it's the first time ever, I'm 38 years old, that I've really been engaged with my life. And that's why this whole, like, native son of Chicago thing is really weird for me. It's like, this is the first time in my life I can really feel like what it's like to fall in love, because I'm, like, actually able to pay attention to it. And the really amazing part of it is, like, it's also the first time in my life I've been treated the way I'm being treated.
So you're being treated well.
I've met somebody who, I will say, and he's heard me say this before, he's the most attractive guy I've ever been with in my life. And that's not the point. Mm-hmm. The point is, like, he dances with me.
Oh,
I mean, we he turns down the lights and puts on soft music
in your Marina City Towers building
or his and he dances with me. I mean, we've spent hours and hours on end just slow dancing and looking into each other's eyes. And let me tell you
how boring.
And you may see me cry now because this is the first time in my life ever. And I've had relationships. I have a few years here and there. First time in my life anybody has ever wanted to dance with me. So that I'm having the time of my life.
And so you're saying that the ADD prevented you from having this kind of relationship beforehand?
Yeah.
So because you couldn't commit to a person, you couldn't make a connection with them because of the ADD?
Because my behavior was all over the map, and I can see how, you know.
And so they got tired of your ass.
They got tired of my ass. People, I write about that on my blog, and I've had people comment and say, oh my God, you know, I have ADD, and I never thought about how it's affected my romantic relationships. And I can see how it's wrecked the trail of destruction
I've left. Your interpersonal, and probably in the workplace and your friendships as well.
Family and whatnot as well.
Yes. So, but not the intelligentsia thing. Chicagoist is still a bunch of dicks.
But if somebody is having... If somebody is unlucky in love, they might want to consider thinking that, hey, maybe I should look and see if I have ADD.
I think
because it's preventing me from creating real relationships.
I wouldn't go that far, but I'd say if anybody suspects they have ADD, that they should get checked out. I mean, there's no. I've met people who are like, well, I think I have it, but you know, I'm not.
Yeah, you always meet people that are like self-diagnosed. They're like,
excuse me,
what's ADD?
Yeah,
it's like, and sometimes I
feel
you
like leaving
they're just
a trail of destruction. Yes,
they're saying
take
like,
a med.
Well,
take a
I
pill.
Think it's like I
go to a psychologist.
Can I give you some perspective here?
Reason as to why they're being an asshole.
Let me give some perspective here.
Yes.
I think that I can't get shit disease stems may be clinically legit.
Uh-huh. Yes.
But I think that we as a society devalue the ability to have a active lifestyle, to educate people on techniques and ideas like learning how to play a musical instrument, higher math learning, computational skills in order to, when you learn all that algebra or when you're learning to play the piano, you're not just learning how to play those things or do those computations, you're also learning how to focus on something.
Well, the problem with ADD is that it's hard to follow through, so you might want to play an instrument or, you know, learn a language or...
But I think a lot of people, if you don't get to that point in the first place, you never develop those skills in the first place, and you then suffer from that anyways. And you may not actually have this type of mental condition, but you have the symptoms for it.
Right.
Well, it's one of those things. Which comes first? Is the chicken or the egg? Your theory is that people don't develop the skills. That's why they have ADHD.
I'm saying that.
But some people are saying that on the other flip side is that some people have the ADHD, so they'll never be able to develop
the
skills.
And the thing that sucks is when you have it, it doesn't go away. It's not like little kids have ADD and then you grow up and you don't have it. You always have it. You know, that's the thing. It's like.
But restlessness comes from the fact that you may not be doing enough shit to make yourself active. And so I would say for a lot of people, go see that doctor, take the Ritalin or whatever that they may prescribe you, but also consider
going
to the gym,
learning
to play a musical instrument. Treat that as part of your therapy.
I mean, if you think that there's a problem in your life, don't sit there and go, oh my God, there's a problem in my life, and then don't do anything about it. Because then, I mean, it's your life. We have a very limited time to be happy and joyous and love the people around us and love ourselves. And I think we have a responsibility to do all of those things.
And I think that the people who have been on Ritalin and all that stuff, I don't think that being on Ritalin may necessarily make you a drug addict, but I'm saying that a lot of people who had conditions where they feel disconnected from the world around them, they turn to alcohol and drugs as a way of dealing with the disconnect.
Except Chicagoists. We don't love them. We hate them to poop.
Why are you so hating on Chicagoists? They have their side. I don't want to defend a situation because I don't really know anything about them, but you know, they are individuals just like you. They're trying to make a voice for themselves.
And let me say this.
If Kathy Griffin were sitting in this seat, she'd be doing the same thing.
And I said the same thing to Kathy Griffin.
And listen, you say you have ADHD, but you're awfully very focused the Chicagoist, so it doesn't, I mean, it doesn't slip out of your mind.
Can't we all
just
be
friends? Forgive them?
Can you forgive and move on?
I can
forgotten but not forgiven.
I can forgive Chicagoist. I mean, I don't, but
how
I can
we bring peace?
But you have to forgive them for yourself so that you can move on.
Well, I mean, Mark, are we guilty of the same? Are
Why?
We when people hate on us mm-hmm. and or people who have been associated one way or another with our program
right.
or what we do on the show, have we been able to bring peace? Or, I mean, there's a lot of people we don't speak to anymore.
There are a lot of people we don't speak to. But I think it depends on whether I have peace with them or not, is if I feel as though I get to say what I want to say and whether I'm heard or not. And so I think that's the important thing. When you feel as though you're not being heard, that's when you have, like, unresolved conflict. If I can say, look, I think you're an asshole for, you know, A, B, C, and D. Do you understand that?
Okay.
If you understand that, then I'm okay.
Because I would say a lot, we get this question asked all the time, mm-hmm. why this or this doesn't happen, or, you know, people having dissatisfaction mm-hmm. or unhappiness, and somehow we are involved in it. and I would say that the reason that happens usually is because we get confused. We are journalists and entertainers and podcasters. Mm-hmm. And when we get into the role of being a manager or producer or a presenter of somebody's talent, we're failing at our job.
We get in trouble for it.
We get into trouble because then we're responsible for that
right, exactly.
creative force. And I would say, if you've been dissatisfied in the past, go to the talent or the source that you were wanting to see involved in this programming, because we are just a program. We're like a newspaper, you know? It's not that we can control what happens in the news. We just report on it and we perform opinions on it. And I would say for anybody who is blogging, who's putting themselves out there, you're going to get hate. You're going to get dissatisfied opinions about what you do. And I think that's a good thing. I could even get Chicagoists to point in a blog about my YouTube videos.
I would like to say, when I sent that email to you guys saying, oh my God, you know, I just can't believe how much this hurts. I mean, I didn't expect a reply back, and I got a reply back, and then I got a reply back, and then you guys were like little email.
I answer emails.
We do.
I want to
mail at Chicago.
I want to let you know.
I'm sorry. Mail at feastoffools.net.
Okay. I want to let you know how much that meant to me. I mean, I so am grateful. I mean, I'm not perfect. And
so you didn't kill yourself
and
night.
I'm going to keep sticking my foot in my mouth on my blog. I know that.
And we look forward to that.
And I'm glad you did. But I mean, the pep talk and the response, and, you know, it meant a lot to me. And so mm-hmm. I just want to say thank you.
You're welcome. I'm glad to do it. And I try and answer each email. And if you feel as though you've written to us and you didn't get an answer, sometimes emails get lost in the mail and they get lost in the shuffle. So just, you know, just resend it and say second time sending it.
Well, I also want to say is sometimes we respond to people's emails. People who have never mm-hmm. heard from before in their entire lives, mm-hmm. who this is the first time they write. Yeah. And it's usually like a hateful thing. And we still respond to it.
Yeah.
And then they never follow through. Yeah. It's like we're having a conversation
I'm
with
always
these people.
Surprised when people respond, the first thing that they want to do is like a complaint. You know, and I always wanted, is this what, you know, think about that in your life. Is this what you're like on a first date? Do you go out on a date with somebody and complain?
I did. That's why I was single until I was 38.
You know?
Really?
So, yeah, just write to us and
more
say
or less.
Hi.
I mean, that's like the trail of destruction. It's like the whole, that's an ADDer's first date. You're everywhere, but like with that person. Mm-hmm. You know, I've had plenty of first dates where I complained like you would not believe. Well, you would believe. You read my blog. But I mean,
I believe you, buddy. You're from New York. You were born to complain.
Well, one thing we want to cherish is our listeners who support mm-hmm. the show by their generous contributions, and our advertisers like Steamworks Gym, Sauna, and Bath.
Release the pressure!
Saca la presión. Steamworks.
Steamworks is a comfortable and stylish place to meet other men, relax, work out, and play. Open 24 hours a day, 365 days a year to men 18 and over in Berkeley, Chicago, Toronto, Seattle, Washington, and coming soon, Vancouver, British Columbia.
Visit.
When you're ready to play, Steamworks is ready for you.
Visit steamworksonline.com and register to get a discount on your next visit. Enter Feast of Fools on the promo code field to get that very delicious special discount. Remember, folks,
play hard, play smart.
Go to Steamworks, rub one out for us.
I'll see you.
I know.
At Steamworks.
So
what is this?
This is what we're leaving people with today. This is a ShamWow song by Rhett and Link. Mm-hmm. They're two fabulous guys who have a fabulous YouTube videos, and they write parody songs in the spirit of Dr. Demento and Weird Al Yankovic.
Wow.
And they took the ShamWow commercial, they took all the words said by that guy, mm-hmm. and turned it into a ShamWow song lyric.
That's hysterical. I want to remind people, too, that you can become our friends on Facebook, join our Facebook fan page, and our Feast of Fools group. And you can read more of Mike's blog at ChicagoCarless.com. It's Carless because he has no car.
That's right. But if you got a car, when you rent a car, do you change the name of your blog?
He doesn't drive.
I don't drive.
Oh, that's right.
No.
He makes it his personal mission to never drive.
So you like riding
hardcore,
a limousine.
Hardcore, baby, hardcore.
All right. Well, thank you so, Mike, for coming on the show.
Thank you,
Mike.
Be strong, be fierce.
And maybe in a year from now, you can have me back, and I can be telling you about the first year anniversary I've spent with the greatest guy I've ever dated.
Wow,
we'll
he's
have
in
you back
love.
Before then. Cost more controversy.
He drank the Kool-Aid.
I am in love.
But, you know, he might raise the prices metaphorically, and then you might have to write a negative blog about him.
Never.
I'm just happy you're in love.
And love is...
You and me both.
Spring is around the corner, people, and we love you, and we love you for listening to the show. I'm Fausto Furnos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
The most absorbent, we're gonna do this in real time. Look at this, put it on the spill, turn it over without even putting any pressure. 50% of the corner right there. You follow me, Gary? The other 50%, the color starts to come up. No other towel's gonna do that.
No other towel's gonna do that.
It acts like a vacuum. And look at this, virtually dry on the bottom. See what I'm telling you?
See what I'm telling you?
ShamWow, you'll be saying wow every time.
ShamWow, you'll be saying wow every time. Call now within the next 20 minutes because we can't do this all day. We'll give you a second set absolutely free. Absolutely free. Absolutely free. Absolutely free.